Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rebirth Podcast, the Whenever We Feel Like Recording It podcast. I'm joined here with Dan Wood. My name is Stephen Gang. Say hi,
What's
Dan.
Up? How's it going? First win this week, baby.
Delta variant. Well, now the Aeris variant coming away with their first win. Toon Squad with better name to be determined, getting the second win and actually putting up good points on this one, but. We're kind of shooting this podcast from the hip here as we are both too busy to put in the proper research required for the podcast, but we'll be talking about the power rankings for the upcoming week, kind of deciding what order we want to put them in. If you don't like it, make some comments and maybe we'll take them into consideration.
Nope.
The next time we record this, because we, again, don't know when the next time will be, but maybe next week, we'll see. So I think to start it off, we'll just, before we get into the power rankings, I do want to just some headlines, first of which being Mike's team, if he had started the proper lineup, if he would have known to also start a Dolphins running back, he would have scored 180, which he still came away with a win, but just having 180 as a possible scoring outcome is insane.
Yeah, really leaving a 50-pointer on your bench is going to sting no matter what.
Anything? Which, yeah, I can't say that I blame who he started, but yeah, he leaving 50 points on the bench, but I would have said it's a bold strategy to start the backup to Raheem Mostert when his opponent is starting Raheem Mostert. But also, I couldn't predict that three Dolphins players would score 150 points almost.
Well, it's not every week that it's the second highest scoring game of all time. So, you know, how do you predict that?
The next headline, I feel, is Eaton Ass finally getting their first win, as they were complaining earlier. Do they always go up against the highest scorer? And when they themselves are the highest scorer, they don't have to worry about it, and they can actually win a game, even if they go up against the second highest scorer. So congrats to Eaton Ass on this week getting their first win.
I mean, it really is wild to think that, yeah, their opponents are averaging 133 points a game, while the team with the best schedule so far, their opponents are averaging about 88 points a game. I mean, you know, the 25-point difference every week. But still, hey, getting the win's getting the win.
Yeah, in 3 weeks, opponents have scored 401 points against Silliman. And
big oof.
The best is looking like maybe Teddy.
Teddy's had the easiest schedule so far with an average of 88 points against him. So yeah, the 2-1 record there, probably mirage. I mean, we all know what kind of team Milkshake Teddy is, where they're going to end up at the end of the season. I don't think it's really a question. So it's really only a matter of time.
And with that, we'll get into the power rankings. So we have them divided up into certain tiers right now. And I think we are going to talk about, as we go, how we want to rank each individual tier. So the top tier is kind of hard to get away from. There's three teams that have really pulled themselves away from the pack. And that's Utah 3-0. The Roy Jones Jr. at 2-1 and Wes Carrollton at 2-1, which both of them probably would have been 3-0 if they were not playing each other this week. Or I guess, no, that's not possible. But you get what I'm trying to say. They're both good teams.
Yeah, I mean, they're all putting up big numbers every week. So, like, you know, yes, regardless, for those three teams at least of record, I think it's pretty, you know, to me, score-wise, Roy Jones Jr. and Wes Carrollton are putting up big numbers every single week. Utah is putting up, we'll call it consistently, pretty good numbers. I mean, they're not getting the flashy you know, numbers. They haven't won a week yet. You know, or as the commish put down, you know, Wes Carrollton has a top week. Roy Jones Jr. has a top week. Utah doesn't have a top week yet, but they're the only team that's 3-0. So, you know, fantasy football is about consistency, and they've got it so far.
So then would you say just because they're 3-0 automatically makes them the number one power, the top dog, the highest power ranking?
I would not say automatically. I mean, we're doing power rankings, not schedule rankings, you know, not win-loss records. So I definitely would not give it to them. Now, I mean, you know, they've put up over 100 every week. They're at, you know, 100, 110, 112. They really haven't had a down week yet. So, I mean, you know, there is power in fantasy football to consistency. But, I mean, when you look at a team like, you know, Roy Jones Jr., per se, you know, 128, 138, 117. I mean, those are big numbers. That's a strong team. So, if I'm doing power rankings, not record rankings, I'd probably have to give RJJ the edge.
Yeah, I am just looking at Utah's team, and this week their win was because, one, they're playing Milkshake Teddy, not scoring over 100 points, and their defense put up 36 points, which you can't always count on a team to get four interceptions, a touchdown, a fumble, not allowing a bunch of yards. But also, one of their starters is Joshua Kelly, who didn't do well, and Eckler is going to be coming back here soon. Chris Godwin hasn't been who everybody thought he would be.
And Jalen Waddle will be back eventually on, I mean, what's clearly a, we'll call it wrong offense, at this point, with 70 points last week. So, I mean, that'll help a little bit. But, yeah, as far as a strong roster, I can't look at that and say that's the best in the league. So really, in my mind, for the number one spot, you've got to be looking at RJJ or Wes Carrollton. And, I mean, it helps that they literally just played last week and Wes Carrollton beat them. So, I mean, are you arguing that they shouldn't be top spot? If we're going between those two and they just played last week, how do you not give it to them?
I think my argument would be Wes Carrollton being the top spot. You look at their starting running backs and you question it, but then you got Zach Moss is in their flex, who's going to be the Colts running back for the season. And if Jonathan Taylor does end up going back, Wes Carrollton also has Jonathan Taylor. So they have the Colts backfield wrapped up, who seems to be doing pretty good. Zach Moss putting up great numbers against Baltimore. And then Alvin Kamara comes off suspension next week, I think, and that's going to be a great outlet for bait for Derek Carr.
Well,
and
you know,
it's
best kicker in football, one of the best defenses in football. I mean, where's the weakness in this lineup?
I think Hockenson is the highest scoring tight end currently, but that's with Travis Kelce missing a game.
Yeah, there hasn't really been. I mean, you know, the big name tight ends, the flashy ones coming out of the draft, really haven't flashed yet. You know, Mark Andrews isn't doing crazy well. Kyle Pitts, you know, there's not a lot to be talked about at the tight end spot. So, you know, Foyer, he got Hawk, probably best you can ask for. So I think we're talking ourselves into it, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's Wes Carrollton's got to be the number one. I'm torn between number two being between Utah and Roy Jones Jr. Because if Justin Fields remembers how to be a great fantasy asset, then Roy Jones has that on his side. But
yeah, but that ain't going to happen. He sucks.
Yeah, and Matt Stafford's he's not going to be who he is, but he'll be getting Aaron Jones back.
Yeah, I still think, I mean, you know, Mike Evans is still producing with Baker Mayfield. You know, Debo's being Debo again. You know, this and Mark Andrews, I mean, he'll be better for sure. You know, 4 for 35 is not his normal stat line. I think there's definitely room to improve there. You know, the Jacksonville defense isn't going to go in the negatives many weeks, I wouldn't think, if they even are on this squad come week 4. So, I mean, you know, RJJ is averaging 20 more points a game than Utah over the first 3 weeks. So again, you know, this is, it's a power rankings. It's not a, not a, you know, season rankings, or not a record rankings.
I think looking back at it, Utah, they have very strong starting running backs with Bijan Robinson and Tony Pollard. Godwin, I think RJJ has the edge with Mike Evans because that's Baker's go-to guy, and Baker finds a guy and sticks with it. Calvin Ridley had an off game, but still seven targets. Njoku caught the ball four times for 20 yards. Yeah, Njoku's, I guess he's not.
Three weeks, 2-9, 3-3, and a 2. That's not what you're looking for from a tight end.
I think what I would put my bet towards Norman. I'm giving Norman the edge. I'm giving Utah the edge. I think Utah needs to trade one of their two quarterbacks to RJJ and get something out of it to really enhance themselves in the, I guess I don't know what the trade is. I can't pull up both lineups because I'm technically inept. Technically inept.
I do expect Jordan Love to come down to earth. I mean, I don't think he's going to keep up this pace. This, I mean, 23, 20, and 24 for 3 weeks. I think once, you know, I think he's in that honeymoon period. Once teams get
on him,
but it's that everybody has that, you know, starting quarterback. They're not sure what his tendencies are, where he's thrown to. I think once they get some tape on him and figure out where his weaknesses are, I don't see this continuing. Plus, I mean, you know, I always think about, you know, teams in you know, Green Bay, Soldier Field, stuff like that, come, you know, October, November, December, it gets cold, you start running the ball. It's hard to put up those gaudy numbers when it's, you know, 5 degrees outside.
I mean, also looking at Jordan Love's stats, he has 50% completion, 22 for 44, so that's not great.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if this keeps going. Now, I mean, he has got good rushing numbers, and that's, I mean, this last week really was propped up by the rushing. You know, 9 for 39 with a touchdown. You know, without that, what, 4-10 points? You know, that's a pretty pedestrian outing. So, if he can get some value for him now, I'd go for it.
That was Justin Fields last year. Terrible quarterback, but great rusher, great fantasy quarterback.
And now he's just a terrible quarterback.
And now they just don't run him anymore for whatever reason. But let's just ruffle some feathers. Put Roy Jones Jr. second, and then Utah third. So like 3-0 team.
Power
sticks
rankings,
with the number
not,
three.
Not schedule rankings, you know, it's power rankings. All right. So
and I mean,
top three now.
I'm playing Utah this week, and I'm going to beat them, so they'll get their first loss coming up here next week.
It's up to you to validate the rankings.
Yeah, my team will help us out and prove us great. So moving on to the next tier, we have Hude, we have Eaten Ass, we have Beef Train, and we have Milkshake Teddy. And forgive me for calling out usernames and other names, actual team names. We'll get down a schedule, or we won't, because fuck it.
They're the same people in this league for like 15 years. If they can't figure it out by now, then that's on them.
So for this one, I want to give the top spot to Eaton Ass, Silliman. They've been getting literally shit on this whole season so far. They had to be the highest scorer to finally get their first win. So they're 1-2. I don't think it's warranted. I think they have a good team. They're just really struggling with the matchups. I wanna give them a win because they're like the New York Jets, just keep getting kicked while they're down.
Yeah, I mean, they have the third highest points for, like, that's, you know, they're a good high scoring team. I think really the only team that could threaten that would be All-Time Joe. Also has, you know, they had a slow week one. They really came out of the gate, you know, pretty lackluster with a 78. But in the last 2 weeks, 135 and a 126. So if anybody's going to challenge that crown, you know, they lost, All-Time Joe lost this week by 2 to Eaton Ass. You know, they beat West Carrollton in week 2, our top team. So I do think there's an argument to be made. And in week 1, they lost to Roy Jones Jr., who's number 2 in the power rankings. So, I mean, they've now played in 3 weeks, 2 of the 3 teams in the top 3, and possibly 3 in the top 4 if we put, Eaton Ass up at 4. So they've had a brutal schedule opening up. Still put up good numbers. So I think it's got to be either Eaton Ass or All-Time Joe at the 4-5 spot.
Let's give Eaton Ass 4 because they just beat All-Time Joe. All-Time Joe can have number 5. With they've got Daniel Jones really bringing their team down. Gino on the bench, who wouldn't do much help. They got Laporta. They got tight ends to spare. Oh, I guess Hunter Henry's not helping them much at all. Again, for those people, if you are listening, we're looking at most of these lineups for the first time in 3 weeks, probably.
Look at All-Time Joe. I mean, they have a pretty strong line. The wide receivers are good. A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams are going to score high every week, I feel like. They're both in either good offenses or offenses that got nobody else. You know, Devontae Adams got 20 targets this week. So that is going to help. It's interesting that he drafted Geno Smith, talking a big game early on, and then, pretty short leash with the benching this week. Could have saved himself, 11 points. And the win by starting his starting quarterback. So there is
a bold strategy starting Daniel Jones against the 49ers.
Yeah, you got to question the judgment of the manager there, as I do really all the time. But
with that switch, we would have given Joe the number 4 spot if they had come out on top over Eaton Ass. But
that end switch. I mean, they had multiple chances to win this game. So I do think that because of those managerial really doo-doo decisions that they probably don't deserve the 4 spot. So I think ETNS and All-Time Joe at 4-5 is the way to go.
So as a team, they are a better team but a worse coach.
I think that's where we got to fall at this point.
ETNS has got quarterbacks for days too, with Tua and Kirk Cousins. Probably they've got to be 2 of the top 3 quarterbacks in the league right now.
Yeah, if only Kirk Cousins could win a game.
Yeah, he'll get there, or he won't. They'll trade him to the Jets. The Jets just pilfer the NFC North.
That's the rumor mill right now.
Everybody keeps talking about it. I think it's gonna happen. And also, like, I don't know if the Jets offensive line. Kirk Cousins was struggling. Well, I don't know. The Vikings have a shitty offensive line too. So,
yeah, it looks like through 4 weeks, Kirk Cousins is at 1 and Tua is at 4. So, yeah, 2 of the top 4. Number 2 is Jay Herbert on 1 Viking Fury team. And number 3 is Patty Mahomes. And number 5 right there is Jordan Love. But like we said, that's a mirage. Interestingly enough, the number 6 highest scoring quarterback right now is free agent Russell Wilson.
Well, if nobody picks him up on waivers, maybe I'll grab him because Jay Herbert's got a bye in week 5.
Yeah, Russell Wilson outscoring Jalen Hurts, outscoring Lamar Jackson, outscoring Josh Allen. Dark horse Russell Wilson. I mean, if they're going to be playing from 40 points behind every game, then, you know, you're throwing the ball a lot.
You'd think. Who knows what Sean Payton's doing over there? Okay, moving on. Next two people in this tier, Beef Train and Teddy. I'm just going to put Beef Train above Teddy because I'll always fade Milkshake Teddy's teams. I don't care what they look like, but
that's just my bias. I mean, we all... Jets, I guess Lions until maybe this year. You know, there are those teams that they're going to fail, just a matter of not if, but when. I think that's where Teddy falls. So, you know, 2-1 only because, you know, nobody's scored against them yet. Like I said, their opponents are averaging 88 points a game, but it's you know, the first person to score above 100 beat them. That was in week 3, and I think that's going to happen pretty much the entire time. They got Roy Jones Jr. in week 5. That's a loss. They got All-Time Joe in week 6. Or in week 4, they got RJJ. Week 5, All-Time Joe. That's a loss. I just don't see I don't see them sustaining.
And I mean, you got to question a team starting the Dallas defense against the Arizona Cardinals. Everybody saw that coming. Arizona just running all over Dallas.
I mean, I did see it, if that's what you're saying. Yes, I watched it happen. But,
oh,
you know,
man.
25 points on the bench from Thielen. Yeah, you wonder if the, again, you question the management. I just don't know about
that. I mean, would you have started Thielen over Hopkins, DJ Moore, or Tyler Lockett? Like, I can't say that. I would have done that.
I would have probably started him over DJ Moore. I've seen enough of the Bears offense to know what I'm dealing with. I wouldn't trust anybody on that team. And I did. I played the tight end, and I deserved it. I lost, or I won this week. But yeah, this is gonna be the last time he sees the field, because the Bears are who we thought they were.
But enough shooting on Teddy. We can hype up Beef Train's team to just kind of talk about why they need to be. I will say that Beef Train gets credit for renaming all the players. And one thing I do like about Sleeper is a lot of the nicknames do trade. So I still have, I feel like some players on my team that were named by Beef Train last year.
I think Bass to Mouth, probably the most underrated nickname so far in the league. So I do appreciate that.
Oh yeah, I think I just have JJ too. Captain Kirk. I think that was him.
And I mean, you know, making smart moves, playing Jared Goff over, you know, Joe Burrow was the high draft pick. I know he was hurt, but you know, there's no way he wasn't going to play with their team at 0-2. So, but, you know, known enough to put that on the bench, you know, solid scoring all the way around. Justin Jefferson's going to eat every week. You know, even Pacheco.
Well, and he really got fucked with T. Higgins. For those of you that watched the game yesterday, T. Higgins dropped probably all 6 of those receptions that he didn't make were his fault, and he just dropped them. He should have had at least 80 yards or something. Like, B-Train should have been the high scorer this week, but he got screwed by T. Higgins, which I don't think will happen again. I think that was an anomaly. Except I don't know. It's kind of been T. Higgins this year.
Good receiver on a good team. I mean, he'll get his eventually. He's riding the roller coaster right now with the big goose egg in week 1, 22 in week 2, and then 2. But I mean, that'll flatten out once Joe Burrow gets healthy. So I'm not super concerned for that team at this point. I think they've got some decent skill all the way around. I do think, you know. And
Kyle Pitts on the bench, which I support over the Mormon Swiss Army knife, because with all their running back hullabaloo, I would have thought Taysom Hill would have gotten a little more points than just the 2 on the 4 carries and 1 reception.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens when Kamara comes back. But again, Kyle Pitts has got to show up before he gets the start, and 5-1-4, not going to get it done.
But yeah, I think I feel good about putting Beef Train at 6, Teddy at 7, and well, that'll bring us down to the bottom tier, which unfortunately is where both you and I are currently living in the shit tier until I take out Norman next week and bump my way up to the middle tier. We have you, me, Billy Vegas, the Lucky Ducks, and the Bazooka Sharks, which I'm just going to say it right now. Bazooka Sharks seem to have already thrown in the tunnel. We're just starting. Bazooka Sharks is the bottom. They started a quarterback that is hurt. Breece Hall is a shit show. AJ Dillon's a shit show. Scary Terry's not scary. But luckily, that's where Travis Kelce lies, so no one has to worry about Kelce ruining their seasons, because he is comfortably on the worst team in the league. He can ride off into the sunset with Taylor Swift.
Yes, already husk. Yeah, and it's convertible, right? Pulling Taylor Swift. Look at you. But, you know, you can only do so much. you know, he can pull Taylor Swift by himself. He can't pull this team along by himself. So I don't see a lot going on here. And clearly the manager is not super engaged. I points on the bench that aren't starting that could have done something, but they still would have lost by 30. So I've already slotted them in at 12, and you cannot talk me out of it.
I would like to petition the commissioner to force a trade for DeAndre Swift to join this team so that Swift and Kelsey can be on the same team and it would not affect the league.
Yep.
I don't know who has DeAndre Swift, but I think that you can take your pick of somebody that's not Travis Kelsey from the Bazooka Sharks, and that trade will just get forced through. You can have Breece Hall, DK, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that are bigger than football, and this is one of them. So,
cool. Glad we're in agreement to that. Bazooka Sharks, number 12. And
slotted.
Yeah, I guess we can work our way up from the bottom. I think, unfortunately, while looking at points forced, Lucky Ducks would be the next in line. I couldn't tell you a single person on their team right now. I beat them. Take that, Lucky Ducks.
Oh, it matters. Yeah, I mean, they
Derrick Henry's just not doing. I think Derrick Henry's on his way out. I think the king has finally fallen.
Listen,
we thought it was last year, but it's this year.
I don't know what you call the opposite of a truther, but I've always been a Derrick Henry hater, and I think for great reason. He burned me early in his career with his. I mean, this is a classic, you know. Derrick Henry's, you know, the classic like 15 for 50 yard stat line kind of thing. You know, without his big runs that bolster his stats, that's the runner he is. That team is trash. They're going to put 12 people in the box every single time. I was not going to, you know, I don't see a lot of hope for him while that team just can't play well. 2 points. Give me a break. 11 for 20. Woof. Yeah, if you're starting Zach Charbonnet, you got a problem. You know, Jamar Chase at least did something this week, but you know, Evan Ingram a tight end. Woof. You know, you're starting Green Bay receivers I've never even heard of. Woof.
I mean, Evan Ingram's stat line is pretty good for tight ends this year. Unfortunately.
But it's still, I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, and 8 targets I'll take. But if you're going to have the rest of this team look like this, then I would have expected to scroll down and see Travis Kelsey, you know, Mark Andrewson in that spot. And I don't. So, like, if you're going to be starting Zach Charbonnet and Jerry Judy's at wide receiver, you better be starting Travis Kelsey's at tight end. You know, Dave Montgomery's out. That hurts. But, I mean, you know, looking at this rest of this bench, I don't see a lot of potential.
Yeah, it's not good. I think they're comfortably in 11th. I have to pull up Billy Vegas, but
Vegas has been putting up good numbers, except for week one. Week one, they shit their pants against you. You got that 70-64 win, which was absolute horseshit. But you know, 127 the week after, 115 the week after that. You know, not the worst numbers in the world, really. Coming off a 64-point week one. So, you know, there's potential there.
So then, really, we should be looking at the team that's got Miles Sanders and Najee Harris as their starting running backs. Their star receiver just got put on the IR.
Listen, I never said they were good.
In the back.
I never claimed anything.
Yeah.
No, this is a team that looked could come out of the draft and has looked worse pretty much every day since. You know, the bench is a mishmash of trash that really has no chance of being good. And they got fucking P. Ryan and Matt Breda. What are they doing?
Yeah, they're a Cowboys fan that trusted in the Giants and got bit.
Yeah, Mike Williams was shown out. He was gonna have a great season until his knee blew up, and your wide receivers can only carry so far. Najee Harris is probably going to be one of the biggest busts of the draft at the end of the season, I've got to think. 19 for 65, that's like 3 yards a carry. I mean, that's trash.
Yeah,
I could do better than that.
Najee Harris will not be the starting running back in Pittsburgh at the end of the season. I mean, I said that last year, and I was wrong. But
no, I'm putting Ducks in 11, but I think we all know who's got to be coming in 10, right?
Yeah, you're going to be 10. The Harris variant.
Do you think you're better than Vegas? Do you?
I beat him week one. Crushed him.
Week one. Yeah, by 6 points, and you both scored under 70.
A win's a win. Lamar Jackson.
You got a one win and a 125.
Oh, well, he's going to lose DeAndre Swift because of the previous trade announcement.
I mean, and Justin Herbert's stock's got to go down with Mike Williams' injury. Josh Jacobs is trash. We see that. Madison's trash. We see that. You think Herbert and Keenan Allen gonna win you every week? I do think Zay Flowers has better days ahead. You know, he's got a lot of targets. He's got decent yards. No touchdowns yet, but I think that's coming. Jake Ferguson's a dark horse. I know I was talking about preseason, but seven targets again. I think is pretty good. He's got 7-4 and 7 targets over 3 games. So that offense will look better than they did. I think they kind of phoned it in against the Cardinals. So I do see some potential in your lineup, as much as it pains me to say. So I don't hate the idea of slotting you in at 8 with Billy Vegas at 9.
Because, I mean, they're not – like, DeAndre Swift's been killing it the last couple weeks, but – I feel like the Eagles constantly just, they feed the hot hand. So Swift's been hot lately, but as soon as Gainwell has a good game, then he's going to get the ball for...
Second most rushing yards in the league right now. And in week one, he had 3 yards. I think he's the most talented back in that backfield. I don't know what, I mean, they can say they're running back by committee, but I mean, I've got to imagine that he takes more of a share going forward. He's just better than the other ones, period. He just is.
I think that makes sense. I just don't think that's – well, I don't know. The Eagles have a new offensive coordinator, so maybe that's how they do it now. But I just don't see that. Well, I don't know. Their offensive coordinator went to the Colts, and Zach Moss had 100% of the snaps, I think.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, going from his one attempt in week one to 28 in week two – against the shit-ass Vikings, and then 16 for 130. I mean, that's an 8 yard per carry clip with no touchdowns. You know, if he'd scored a couple times, that's a huge game. So, you know, and coming up, their schedule, they've got what is the Washington name? The Commanders, whatever the fuck that is. They got the Commanders, they got Rams, Jets, and the next 3 games. I mean, those are potentials to have pretty good games.
I just don't think the Eagles will necessarily play him for all of those. Or he'll get hurt, because that's another thing that DeAndre Swift does.
This is true. He is an injury risk, but until he is, I mean, it's a good offense that looks like they're getting in rhythm. They were a little slow going this week, but it's a good team. But all that being said, I still would give you the slight edge. And I think your game against Utah this week is going to be very telling.
How do you feel about Puka Nacua? Do you think he's going to be keeping up this insane season that he's been having?
I mean, he's legit. And until he's not, we'll see if when what's his face comes back. I mean, he's getting like 15 targets a game. I mean, I don't know what else you want from a guy.
He got 15, 20, and 7.
Yeah, he's not scoring touchdowns, but if he was, he'd be having even better games. So, I mean, you got to call him legit at this point. I don't know if Cooper Kupp's gonna sap all his targets away from him if he comes back, but I at least think, I mean, you know, for where he was drafted, which means wasn't, I think it's great value.
Yeah. Playing his value, I just don't think you can really depend on it for the team. And looking at the bench, yeah, Lazard's not going to do anything. Nico Collins is on the Texans. Kadarius Toney is an anomaly. It's like Sky Moore on my team. Like, if anybody wants Sky Moore, offer me a trade or wait a couple days. You might be able to pick him up off waivers.
Yeah, Steve, ain't nobody wants Sky Moore.
That's been maybe my biggest disappointment of the draft.
Be realistic. Hey, if you're trying that, if anybody wants Samaje Perine, hit me up.
I'll trade you Sky Moore for Samaje Perine, then we can both drop him.
Sold.
Oh, man, Garrett Wilson, that's not his fault, but I'm just sad to have him on my bench.
Yeah, I hope he has a good liquor or something.
I want Kirk Cousins to go to the Jets just for Garrett Wilson's sake.
They keep saying poor it, guy. But I don't believe that Zach Wilson lasts the season. I mean, that dude looks like trash. And I don't feel bad about it because I think he's also a douchebag. So he's got the double strike against him of being bad and not realizing he's bad. And I think they'll give him another week or two, and then they got to bring somebody in. You know, they can't look like this all season. You just can't do it. You've got too good a team around him except for that to allow that to happen. You're going to lose the locker room if you keep that guy in charge. So,
I feel like
it's going to be Carson Wentz time by week 5.
I want Fitzmagic to come back, except I don't know. He's probably very out of shape. But
yeah, I was going to say, I saw him in those DraftKings commercials. That dude looks fat.
Yeah. He's living his best life.
Yeah, I don't blame him for it. You know, do your thing. But I don't think he's playing quarterback anytime soon. But that being said, I think he could start tomorrow and still be better than Zach Wilson. He's not a starter. He's not a backup. I don't know what his PR team to get him drafted, second overall. But, you know, good for him. He got a payday. But that'll be the last one he gets.
All right. So now looking, well, I'm not going to read down the rankings. You'll see them when we post them. I don't know if do we want to talk about our ongoing bet for the league? Do you think that's a fun podcast topic?
Sure. Let me bring it up real quick.
So I've been updating the seasonal bet. And so for everybody to follow along, if you don't give a shit about Dan Wood and I's side bet, then you can stop listening to the podcast here because there will not be any more content if you've enjoyed any of the content before. But
doubtful.
We have a bet going on where I have this will be good to record and get the clarification on the details because I think my understanding is it's whoever the leading quarterback, running back, and wide receiver is for the Vikings and the Cowboys go head-to-head against each other. So generally that's going to be Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Alexander Mattison versus Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Tony Pollard. But do we only adjust it if there's an injury, like if Alexander Mattison gets hurt or like if he gets benched for Cam Akers, do I start getting points for that? Like what did we say?
I mean, that's a good question. We never really established it, but I think that's fair. I mean, I think, you know, if CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson would have not played a week, I think he'd probably default to, you know, top scorer of the team for that week kind of thing, whoever takes their place in essence. Same thing with quarterbacks. You know, if Dak goes down, you take Cooper Rush's score kind of thing. The real issue there is going to be a split, you know, a committee at running back. But, I'd be okay with saying top score of the team. So even if, you know, Madison gets 10 touches, Cam Akers gets 12, you know, whoever is the top scorer, which is going to be neither because they both blow. But I'd be okay saying top scorer of each. Now, you know, wide receiver is going to be a little bit maybe tougher for Cowboys because it's not always going to be CeeDee Lamb. But I'm still comfortable saying it because he looks consistent. So I think barring injury, it's those three names, unless one of them either gets hurt or, you know, eclipsed as the starter. Is that fair to you?
Yeah. If any of those players start, then they're the ones that you count. But if they don't get the start, if like Cam Akers is the official starter, then I have to count his points instead of Madison's.
I think that's fair. Except it's never going to happen because he's trash.
Yeah, I think it's the offensive line is trash, so it doesn't matter who they put behind there. But
oh, well, no, yeah, don't get me wrong. The team is trash. They're 0-3. You know, Justin Jefferson's going to get, team, what, Diva frustrated in week 6?
Offensive line trash. Team awesome.
Hmm. Awesome at 0-3. That's a tough needle to thread, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's see.
They won't lose yourself, I can tell you that.
So it looks like through 3 weeks, Kirk Cousins, like I said, he's the number one quarterback in fantasy, so he's taking it. Justin Jefferson is clearly above CeeDee Lamb. Really, the only bright spot for me is Tony Pollard. Looks like, yeah, Madison is hovering around 30 points. Tony Pollard is sitting at a pretty, like, 50. So he's really the only one, you know, winning his weeks for me. But I don't think he's overcoming the deficits that Dak and CeeDee are putting up. So right now, I'm in the hole.
And this is going to whenever fantasy playoffs start, I think is what we said.
That is what we said. Yeah, playoffs are a whole different thing. So,
and yeah, we're saying fantasy playoffs. So like week 13 or 12 or 14, whatever one it is.
Right now, I'm putting in the totals. We can see the running totals just so we know about how big I'm losing by. But it's
174 to 136.
Oh, I see it down there. Totals. You did too. Yeah, I should probably look farther down in the spreadsheet because I'm an idiot. But I mean that's pretty close, I would say, over 3 weeks. I mean, like I said, people are gonna have big games. You know, somebody's gonna beat somebody else by 20 points and that's gonna swing pretty wildly. So for where the Cowboys have looked right now, I'm not broken up about it. I think Dak's gonna have better games. CeeDee will have better games, obviously. Yeah, really.
I feel pretty good about it. Worried about Madison, but yeah, I do like this bet a lot more than us putting everything down to if the Vikings beat the Cowboys beat the Vikings. Or I feel like we've done like one individual player before, but I like this top three method as both. Both top three. Well, I don't know. Madison's kind of the odd one out there.
Well, but I mean, he needs to be because Justin Jefferson's like the best wide receiver in football. So something's got to get in that out.
Yeah, that's fair.
So far, but I feel good about it.
And then I think the last thing we'll just talk about on this is predictions for next week. I don't know if you want to predict your own game or predict a high score.
I mean, I feel okay about it. I mean, my team blows, so I mean, take that with a grain of salt, you will. But you know, I'm playing a Billy Vegas squad that isn't great. You know, we slotted him at 9, and I'm at 10, so it's not like he's, you know, lighting the world on fire. You know, the Eagles will play a better defense. You know. Miles Sanders is playing the Vikings. They suck. Trevor Lawrence is playing, Atlanta. They suck. So I'm feeling good about those matchups. Like I said, Cole Kmet's going to get the boot. I'm going to fire him into the sun because the Bears suck. I'll have to get Williams out of there, so I got to see who to bring off the bench. Do I feel optimistic about my team this season? Absolutely not. Do I think I could at least lock down a win this week? I do think so. Lamar Jackson's playing Cleveland. They're a good defense. So I don't think he's going to do a lot for Billy Vegas. So I feel good about this week and not much else.
That's. Do you think Belichick's going to put the Belichick treatment on CeeDee Lamb? Or do you think he's going to focus on Tony Pollard?
I think Bill Belichick was getting propped up by Tom Brady a lot. And his team sucks this year. And that's going to show.
See, but I would still argue that he's generally able to take out one player. If he says this player is not going to score a lot, he can do that.
Yes, they usually do take out the number one receiver. And so, I mean, hopefully they do shut down CeeDee Lamb. I think it's hard to do just because they move CeeDee around a lot. Like he plays out of the slot, you know, he'll play either side. So it's hard to just, you know, bracket him on the outside and take him out of the play. So I think harder than normal. But it could be true. But at the same time, it's a much less talented New England squad than I think they've had in previous years. So it's harder to do when you don't have, you know, they used to have lockdown corners that they could just put somebody on and be done with it. And I don't see that happening this time. So I think this is a bounce back week for the Cowboys in general. I really do. So my tinfoil hat theory is that they, you know, they kind of gave some people the week off last week. They had three starting linemen out that I think they were just kind of okay with putting backups in and trying to get a win on the Cardinals. If they didn't, that's fine. So I think they were looking ahead, and I think they'll bounce back in week four and look like the regular Cowboys.
Sounds good. I feel great about my matchup this week. I've got Josh Jacobs, get right game. He's playing the Chargers, arguably one of the worst rush defenses.
How do you have a get right game if you've scored 110 3 weeks in a row?
Because he's going to score 110 this week, and he gets right.
Okay.
The Chargers made Madison look decent. They didn't make him look good, but that's on Madison. But Josh Jacobs pulls the Chargers. The Chargers pull Vegas. So Keenan Allen and Herbert are going to go off. Keenan Allen, he also, we didn't talk about this, he had 20 targets last week too with Devontae Adams. So
just getting peppered. Yeah, that was filthy.
And if you're getting peppered by Justin Herbert playing in arguably his best form since he's joined the league, I'll take that any day. Zay Flowers is arguably the number one receiver over Mark Andrews in Baltimore, but yeah, we'll see how that plays.
He should have some touchdown regression. He'll score in that game for sure. But I would be slightly concerned that the Miami Buffalo game turns into a shootout. So it wouldn't shock me if Josh Allen goes off, if Jalen Waddle gets back in the lineup, goes off, things like that. So I could see that being a pretty high scoring game. I bet the Vegas over under for that is huge. I do think Tony Pollard has a better game against a worse line in New England. So there's potential for some scoring on Utah's squad, but I still would probably give you a little bit of the edge. Like I said, weak tight end on that team. I'm not sure who they're going to figure out to flex, really. You know, maybe Jahan Dotson, but he's playing the Eagles. So not the best matchups.
I got the Chiefs playing Zach Wilson, which I love.
For now, you might see Travis Siemian. They just signed him just today to the quarterback room. So turnover machine himself. Well, I guess they both are.
Yeah, it's hard to throw more turnovers than Zach Wilson. All right, well, we'll find out this week who ends up playing better. Maybe we'll talk about it next week, but maybe it'll be a couple weeks before we release another podcast. But hopefully all the audio works. Would be astonished if anybody is still around listening to the closing out. But
if you are, way to make it to the end.
Way to make it to the end. This is the end. If there's anything you want us to talk about next time, like, shoot us a message. If you want to be a guest, we're always accepting guests. Mike was our guest on our first one, whether or not you heard it because of some technical difficulties. But
he was there, though.
If you're still around listening to this, you are prime guest material for this podcast. So
yeah, if you've still been listening, if you're calling us morons and yelling at us, you know, through your headphones, feel free to do it in person over a computer.
Yeah, say it to our face. We do have a lot of bad takes and not many good ones, but we make power rankings, so you can deal with it. Thank you for joining us at the Rebirth Podcast. I'm Steve Gang. And for Dan Wood, have a good night.
Later.